Welcome back to the .live Experience Podcast. I'm Alex, and I'm joined here with Rachel, who was away last week on vacation. Rachel, how was your break?
Hey, Alex. Thanks for asking. Vacation was nice. It's actually the first one I've had in a long time, so I was glad to get away for a little bit, spend some time with family, but as always, I'm happy to be back, too, back in the swing of things. So what's on the docket today?
Well, sounds like you had a nice time. We missed you.
Always.
So today we'll be chatting about a few new items that came up recently, as well as interviewing our very own Switchboard marketing intern, Kira Sarsfield.
Looking forward to this one. Kira has been with us for several months now. And to give you a little bit of background, she is a marketing and advertising student at Penn State University.
We are.
Penn State.
I'm correct about that, right? I know you're studying advertising. You're studying marketing as well, right?
Yeah, I was going to get a mark. We have like a certificate. So I was going to get that at some point. Don't know when, but some point.
Cool. Awesome. So she's been helping us with all sorts of campaigns here, including social media, blogging, community management, feature launches, and more. She has been an incredible asset, and we're stoked to have her on the team.
Absolutely. So one of the main reasons we wanted to talk to you, Kira, is that we thought it would be interesting for our listeners to get a firsthand account of what it's been like for a student to experience this pandemic. One can only imagine hasn't been easy from a learning experience, learning perspective, but it probably hasn't been the college experience that you were looking forward to, right? I mean, on the one hand, there's that. There's probably some disappointment, but then on the other hand, it's remarkable how live streaming has made it possible to continue with some of the semblance of normalcy. I'm actually a teacher and I teach a marketing class, and we've done this and, you know, kept classes going with some of this, you know, so it's going to be really awesome hearing it from your perspective. Can you talk to us about this and what it's been like as a college student during the pandemic?
Yeah, of course. So I am Kira. So currently I'm about to be a junior at Penn State University. So I've had about three semesters of kind of COVID semesters. So one normal one so far. And in my opinion, I think that the pandemic has completely changed the landscape of your typical college experience. Penn State is such a big school, and the athletic and social events like football games, concerts, and clubs really do play an essential role in developing students inside and outside of the classroom. But with the pandemic halting those in-person classes and athletic events, Penn State has truly felt different. My friends and I have described campus as eerie and lonely, since thousands of students are no longer rushing to class or getting lunch in the hub and attending athletic events. The normal loudness of Penn State's main campus has really vanished since the pandemic, because 40,000 plus undergrads are now quietly tuning into their Zoom classes in their apartment or dorm. With Zoom's mention, that brings me kind of more towards the live streaming side of things. All of my classes use streaming destination Zoom to deliver remote classes throughout the pandemic. And at first, trying to figure out Zoom was a total nightmare. Students, with myself included, were constantly accidentally unmuting themselves and interrupting lecture. In another one of my classes, we had a Zoom bomber attack. That's what they call them when someone unauthorized gets into a classroom somehow and gets the pin and gets into the class, and he or she never figured it out, interrupted our guest speaker. So I could really talk forever about my experiences with Zoom, because it was truly my first time experimenting with a live streaming platform through an online class. But after mastering Zoom and its awesome background features, I started to realize how lucky I was to be able to attend a class during the pandemic. When Penn State first went remote in March 2020, this was really the only form of social interaction besides my immediate family, and I could only really talk to my professors and students. And it was great because my professors seemed to be very empathetic during this time, and they would often project motivational images or songs before class via Zoom, which always made me smile. It honestly helped me stay positive while coronavirus cases were increasing and going on around me. So I then realized how fortunate I was because I had the opportunity to continue my college education with my live streaming software and my laptop.
Kira, thank you so much. This paints such a, you know, such a good picture of what it truly was like for you and for what I would imagine are a lot of people in your position. I, you know, personally have always kind of wondered what it would be like if I were in your boat right now. And it sounds like it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, there's sort of adapting, there's good things to it. But then at the same token, there are challenges that were pretty obvious that you had to kind of overcome. So thank gosh for live streaming and you know, Zoom allowing your class to continue and for you to have some of that kind of normalcy that I would imagine most college kids are craving. So did you enjoy taking those classes or online, or do you think you'd still prefer an in-person experience? And like with that, would you say, like, do you think most of your friends feel similarly, or, you know, like, I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of what the consensus is in terms of preference. I mean, I would imagine there's like an individual component to this. Each person is different, of course, but what do you think? What's it like for you and your friends?
Well, it can be different for other students. I know some students definitely did enjoy going to class from their bedrooms and just being able to sit and not have their cameras on. But simply put, for me, I think that the online experience just wasn't the same. I know, speaking for my friends and I, we do miss being inside the classroom where we could openly interact and communicate with our professors and classmates. We had Zoom breakout rooms that they would send us in, and those would be very awkward because students, including myself, we just feel weird interacting with people when we don't have to have our cameras on. You're just talking to a blank screen. There's really no face-to-face communication with that. So I know that the online classroom often felt pretty isolating. For this upcoming fall semester, I know that my friends and I are hyped to be back in the classroom again. Personally speaking, I cannot wait to communicate face-to-face with my professors and classmates. And I know that our professors are also excited to have students back in the classroom as well. AV, I don't know if you wanted to touch, since you said that you are a professor, if you are excited to potentially be in person again and see your students face to face.
Yeah, it was really good because we, in the spring semester, I did have classes live in person most of the time. It was nice to be able to, you know, when there was weather, you know, bad weather, we just didn't simply cancel the class. We easily, seamlessly went online, and I held class from my workspace in my basement and got on my suit and jacket and, you know, and did my class. And, you know, I think the fact that pretty much everyone is used to this experience now means, you know, we're just much more flexible in those kinds of situations. And if we have to go back to online learning, we're going to be able to do that. But, you know, I agree. I certainly love the person-to-person, face-to-face interactions of that in-person class. So obviously there's a clear connection between what you use as far as technology that enables you to continue your classes and your day-to-day work here at Switchboard. What do you enjoy most about working for a multi-streaming company? And what kinds of things have you learned from working here?
Well, first, I wanted to say that I have loved working with Switchboard. The Switchboard team is truly full of hardworking and inspiring individuals who are passionate about live video. But going back to your question, AB, I was originally drawn to Switchboard because live streaming has become the next big thing. it helps us stay connected to people all over the world, which I think is pretty cool stuff, especially with the pandemic going on. But through this internship, I've learned the importance of clear and open communication, especially with our loyal Switchboard users. We've got some pretty talented people using our multi-streaming platform, and I've loved virtually meeting them and learning about their stories. I've also learned about the ins and outs of a startup, which has been an awesome experience for someone who hopes to work in the entertainment industry one day. The startup life has definitely presented its challenges, but it's also very rewarding to see our projects come together. So really, in all, I've loved this internship with Switchboard. I've learned so much from team members here, especially our digital marketing manager, Rachel. She's been a great mentor to me in this past year, and I've learned so much from her expertise.
Kira, I did not pay you to say that, did I?
No, you didn't. I was hoping you wouldn't look over the script. I was like, if she wants, she could look over it, but she might see that. So
those are really, really kind words. All I can say is we've been really blessed and grateful to have you. You've been such a tremendous asset. So
agreed on all of those fronts. You know, it's fantastic what you said, and we've really enjoyed working with you as well. And I look forward to seeing what the future brings for all of us. You know, so thanks for speaking with us here today. This was fun. I had a really nice chat with you and got to learn some new things about you. And so next up, we've got some new hot news items to chat about. Rachel, what's up first?
So TikTok is upgrading their live streaming features, adding the following: scheduling in advance, picture in picture, go live with a friend, which is called live together, live Q&A. They're doing top streams, which make it easier to find and tune into live videos. You can now assign moderators to your live streams. They have incorporated keyword filters, which enables creators to mute words of their choosing during a live stream. And they can turn off comments or add up to 200 terms. And then they can also turn on harmful comment alerts. Alex, what are your thoughts on these? These are some pretty solid upgrades.
They are. And I have to say, have you used TikTok much? Have you done any TikToking?
No, I have to say I'm married to somebody who likes TikTok, but I personally have not. I mean, I've dabbled, but I'm not someone that, I mean, I don't spend a lot of, you know, time on a daily basis on there.
Yeah. I went through like a few weeks phase of just scrolling and watching videos and liking stuff.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's, you know, I get the appeal.
There's a lot there.
Yeah. You know, and what's cool about that. So I, you know, having been a user, you know, knowing what they're upgrading here is really cool, you know, because I think they're really taking this from being like these little recorded videos, but really adding to their live offering, which makes TikTok, you know, very appealing. So I really like the keyword filters and the harmful comments alerts. We've talked about this a bunch, but those in particular give the content creators control over the experience. And I think personally, I think that's a key.
Yeah, I agree. I like those. I also like the top streams feature, which helps both the watcher and the creators, because it'll just be easier for them to get found and also find what they want to watch. You know, the easier the better, I think, with any kind of technology, any kind of solution. So I think it's all good stuff. What is next on the docket here?
This one's a little different. I don't think we've talked about Citizen here before, but if you don't know about it, it's a social alert app that basically lets you find out what kind of crime is happening in your neighborhood. For instance, if you live in Philly, you can sign up for Citizen using your particular area.
Yeah. So I actually happen to live in Philly. Like, you know, I'm a couple minutes out from Center City, and I use Citizen myself, so I know all about it. And this, for me, is a particularly interesting article to dive into and to get it sort of, you know, to learn a few things about Citizen and some things maybe I wasn't, you know, thrilled to learn about. But what is cool about these alerts and reports is that they're coming from everyday people and everyday citizens, or they're supposed to be, which we kind of get into. So let's just say someone across the street witnesses a robbery taking place. They can catch it on video and share it and alert others nearby. The only catch with that is that sometimes there are false reports. And like this article points out, you know, citizen crime streams are no substitute for local journalism. And we'll talk about why.
Yeah, this article starts out by stating that Citizen is covertly hiring journalists to live stream on the app at crime scenes for $25 an hour through third-party websites. I mean, like, where do we even begin with that? It feels unethical. Rachel, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And that's sort of what I was hinting at. You know, just reading that, I kind of winced. One other issue pointed out in the article as well is that while Citizen was built to notify people of potential crime, it seems to have turned into this, it seems to have turned a corner. I don't know about you, but a lot of cities these days, I personally have seen it here in Philly, especially with the pandemic, people are feeling desperate. More crimes are happening. And I have this conflict where it's like, do I keep Citizen or do I get rid of it? Because it does cause me to panic sometimes. And I know it causes other people to panic because I have friends that have gotten rid of it for this very reason. They don't want to know every little thing. I think it's sort of, you know, you sort of want to know what's going on. You want to be alert and aware, and you want to do what you can to stay safe or to avoid certain areas if something is taking place. But there are false alerts through this app. And I think it does cause sort of unnecessary fear sometimes. You know, so it's kind of like, do we want to know every little thing? I guess that's kind of a question.
Yeah, for sure. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, knowing that now Citizen is hiring people behind the scenes to kind of sort of control what's being put out there. Yeah, this article kind of points out that Citizen has these street teams, which they describe as to demonstrate how the platform works and to model responsible broadcasting practices in situations when events are unfolding in real time. So they're put it in place to show others to how to use Citizen.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, though, the whole point of this is that there's a difference between live streaming a crime scene on a surveillance app by someone who is being paid, which we're learning, and reporting accurate and also important news. It just seems to really blur what's okay and what's not. What is journalism? What is not? Quite honestly, this article kind of makes me want to jump ship.
Are there any examples of like alerts you've gotten that makes you freak out? And like, what about it, you know, makes you want to jump ship?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the alerts I've received seem, they're comical, and also, you know, kind of just things that happen in cities, you know, I don't even know if they're true half the time. I've gotten alerts that someone is wielding a stick on, you know, on the parkway. Is it possible that's the case? Sure. Does that kind of thing happen in the city? Sure, you might see people, you know, holding objects or doing things that seem sort of out of sorts or what you might not expect walking down the road. But at the same time, is that something that I need to be alerted of? I don't know. To me, that kind of thing just ends up really giving me a chuckle more than anything. Yeah. You know, I think I've seen other alerts that are, you know, so-and-so is throwing rocks at a woman, or throwing rocks at a trash can or something like that. That just seems kind of, again, obviously you don't want rocks thrown at anyone or yourself, or, you know, you don't necessarily want to be in a situation where someone is throwing rocks, to cause harm. But I think, again, it just does kind of blur the lines of what are the things that we need to know about versus the things that are kind of additional.
So,
there have been some instances where I've definitely, it's raised eyebrows, and I've wondered if that's even if it's even true, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's like a boy who cried wolf kind of situation where, you know,
yeah, you've got, I think there's a lot of that.
These false reports kind of, you know, heightening a sense of,
you
know, problems or, you know, and, you know, also, desensitizing you to actual problems. So.
Sure. And I've also, there've been instances where something has been reported and then, it says that it's unverified, you know, or it says later on that it wasn't verified. And so there, again, it kind of brings us back to that issue of, well, you've caused panic. Now credibility is sort of in question for me for an app like this, because, you know, so-and-so had a gun down the street. It's unverified. You know, what do you do with that? Right.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about it. And I think some other people do too.
Yeah. I think it's important to read this article if you have other questions. You know, I think there are some interesting things about the citizens hiring practice that seem, certainly questionable. And, you know, so go out and read this TechCrunch article and you'll see what we mean. You know, so I don't blame you how you're feeling about this. And, you know, on that note, this was a particularly interesting conversation. A lot of times we're talking about the upsides of apps, and sometimes we're talking about the downsides of apps. And anyway, hope everyone enjoyed the conversation. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening to the .live Experience podcast.